I prayed and asked God to allow my voice to get back to a reasonable portion of health and strength. And if I begin to dry up and crack up, wake up. today we're coming from, as we heard in our hearing, 1 John, the second chapter, verses 18 and 19. In these scriptures, we hear of what is called the Antichrist. But I want us to pay some attention to, because today we're going to look at two things, and the sermon will be yours. What is the Antichrist, and what happens when we follow the Antichrist? Let's look at verse 18 again. Keith, if you could, read 1 John chapter 2, 18, and just the first part. I'm going to interrupt you. You know I am. But I'm going to make a point. Listen to what he says in the first part of the verse, verse 18a.
Dear children, this is the last hour.
This is the last hour. Now, that's a warning that Peter gives to the world when he writes 2 Peter, the third chapter. He says that, people have been saying, well, you know, you've been talking about this world coming to an end and God is going to do this. But nothing has changed. It's all the same. And then Peter said that God is not slack concerning his promise. We're in the last days. Now, exactly what the last days are and the length of time, we do not know. The Bible never gave us. Even Jesus proclamated and says that not even the Son of Man knows when God will come. So that time, he said, will be like a thief in the night. Now, I never planned for a thief. I tried to prevent one, but I never planned and say, oh, that burglar going to be here about 8 o'clock, y'all. Let's get ready. You know, no one has ever called ahead and said, hey, we're going to be there to steal your stuff at 9. So when Jesus said he will come like a thief in the night, it is at that time to where we are unprepared. It's at that time where we have no knowledge. So it's at that time when he said, that's when you should be watching. He said, we're in the last days now. So listen to what he's saying. Could you get for me 2 Timothy, the third chapter? Notice the words of Paul to his young understudy, Timothy, his son in the faith. He writes to Timothy, and listen to the words of what he is saying.
But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days.
There will be terrible times in the last days. We are in the last days. It talks about when men shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, where everybody's celebrating, where they think no trouble is around, or this thing that was promised to happen won't happen. It is at that time when danger lurks. It is at that time when he catches us off guard. When he says, bang, you think the Big Bang Theory exists, wait to the last days. There's going to be a bang. The Bible said with the shout of an archangel, and it's going to be so loud that it's going to wake up the dead. As the clouds shall divide back, the sky shall divide back, and we'll see Jesus Christ come. And it's at that time, we used to call him the Bigfoot angel. Where in Revelation said he would put one foot in land and the other foot in the sea, declaring time to be no more. It's at that time that God said it's going to happen. Now, we always talk about, well, that could be 1 year from now or 10 billion years from now. It could be, but that's really irrelevant for you, because if it is 1 million years from now, you won't be here. Time, earth, life ends when you end. So no one knows, the Bible says in James, the fourth chapter, what is your life? It is a vapor that appears just for a little while. Then it vanishes. So what's the thing? We're not trying to scare people into anything. We're trying to make you aware that we are in the last days now. Paul even said the struggles that we may go through in this life, they will not compare to what God has for us in the end. And that's on the flip side. You can have all, well, there's the thing. You could live through a tumultuous life on this earth as a Christian. But when you die and you see Jesus in eternity, all these problems will never compare anything to the blessings of the life after. That's why you hang on. But on the flip side of that, you could live the most sinful, wicked, fun, loving, having fun, life, fun. But if you lose your soul, all that fun goes for naught. So we got to remember, this is not a threat, more of a warning. We are in the last days. But keep reading, sir, in 1 John, the second chapter, if you could. Keep reading verse 18.
And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come.
As you have heard the what?
Antichrist.
The Antichrist. Now, what is the Antichrist? Who's heard of that phrase, that name? Most of us heard that, especially in the movies and stuff. We heard this name, Antichrist. The question that we have is, what or who is the Antichrist? Is it a man or a woman? Now, I know there are a lot of women who we can think can fit this description. But nowhere, to my knowledge, is the Antichrist described as a female. It's always described as a he in the male gender. Is it a person or a force? Where does it come from? Is it a person or a force? Read verse 18 one more time.
Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come.
Now notice he said, this is the last hour, the Antichrist. He is coming. Now, when he's coming, whatever he or she, it stands against God. Its goal is to defeat God and his will. So if you could get for me 1 John chapter 2, verse 22.
Who is the liar? Is it whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ? Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son.
Who is, first of all, a liar? And this person, not only does he lie, he denies that Jesus has come already. There was a belief that Jesus, and this is what is believed, some scholars believe that John was teaching or fighting against, that at this time in this area, that a lot of people were teaching that Jesus Christ only came in spirit, that he did not come in the flesh. And they're saying that his death on the cross was not the death that we believe it was. So they're just saying, they're denying actually Jesus Christ. And I want to make a little side note here. When we take Jesus Christ away from his humanity, then we miss something about Jesus. A good example is what I'm saying is, the Bible said Jesus in Hebrews was tempted in all phases of life just as we were. What phase does that mean? Now, let's understand what a temptation is. A temptation is something that tickles your fancy. Can I say that? It's something that is delicious to you. As I said before, you cannot tempt me with boiled okra. You can't do it. I'm telling you. If you ever do that, it's not Larry who you tempting. Something went way wrong. So here is Jesus being tempted. We have to know if he was tempted in every phase, just like you and me, guess what? You were tempted with greed. You were tempted with pride. You're tempted with your emotions, your feelings. Jesus was tempted. And when we think that Jesus could have just, he did some kind of God thing and Godded it out of the way, you got to understand, no, he did a human thing. Jesus' humanity denied that. Not the God part of him. And here's my point, because if Jesus was just God all the time, then how hard was the cross? You see what I'm saying? How hard is the cross if I'm God and you stick a nail in my hand? I can God it away. But Jesus took every single bit as a human. Why? Because he put on flesh. And they denied this. And this is a more spectacular thing. How hard is it to be a human in a human body with unlimited power? That's simple. But when you erase yourself out from that, as Philippians, the second chapter said, he emptied himself out, poured his beautiful body into the dirt body of a human being. And he went through life. He was tempted in every phase, just like you and me, yet without sin. He did that as a human being. And guess what? What was he telling us? You could do it too. You have that choice to do it. Every single sin, you have a choice. You have a choice. But what do we normally do? We take our humanity and go, well, you know, I'm only human. Well, here's the point. They tried to take away the power of God's love. Jesus was completely God all the time, yet he was completely human because it was that human part of him that died. God can't die, but Jesus did. It was that body that he lived, this perfect, sinless life. Did Jesus have a choice? Yes, ma'am. Jesus could have ran off and did some things that he wanted to do, but he chose not to. So you know what that does? That erases my excuses. That takes them away. I can no longer say, I can't. Yes, you can. Why? Because the Bible said you was made and I was made in his image and in his likeness. We have no excuse. But the Antichrist is one who comes against that thought. He comes in and he says, well, you only human. But Jesus said what? Man, you human. You see the difference? When Jesus said, man, you human, he is saying, you were made in my image and in my likeness. You can do this. But the Antichrist said, no, man, you only human, what they expect. It's just like we was playing volleyball. She was on the varsity volleyball team. And when she do something good, we would yell out, she's a freshman. And then when she do something bad, we say, she's just a freshman. You know, you use the same words, but you have the, you know what I mean? Well, that's what Satan does. Man, you only human, what do you expect? But God is saying, come on, you're a human, come on. The Antichrist wants to flip God's intent. So what does this Antichrist look like? How does he function? What does the scripture say about this Antichrist? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. We read about an Antichrist. We read about someone or some force or something that is against God and his will. I don't know if it's just one man. I don't know if it's a group of people. He said many antichrists had come already. So apparently there are many ones, and we've seen some today in our society. Not to have to name them, but you've seen those men who would stand up and proclaim to be Jesus Christ himself. This Antichrist, he exalts himself. Start at verse 1.
Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anyone deceive you in any way.
Now understand this. Keep your finger there. He said these teachings are going around and saying that Jesus has already come. That he's already come. Believe me, when Jesus came the first time, he came in stealth-like. He came in so quiet that the astrologers had to follow a star. These wise men had to follow a star to find out where he is. And the king said, well, when you find him, bring back information from me so I can worship him too. He came in quiet. But when he come back, believe me, you don't have to ask anybody. You don't have to ask anybody where he is. Because the Bible says, when he come, believe me, you will know. The atheist who struggles with the idea of God, you'll find your answer. The one who denies Jesus Christ as Lord, you will find your answer. The Christian who's been washed, but yet lives his or her life outside of the power, you will find your answer. We don't have to go around and ask anymore. That day when Jesus comes, every single person from Adam to the last person ever born, Jamal, who, that person from him to him or him to her, they will know Jesus is here. Keep reading, preacher.
For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed.
See, something, there's a setup. Something has to happen. There are, in 2 Timothy, I'm 2nd, where am I?
2 Thessalonians.
Yeah, right there. It doesn't refer to him as the Antichrist. He's referred to as the lawless one. Now, remember in Matthew, the 7th chapter, where Jesus says, Matthew writes, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day. What's that day? That great and notable day, judgment. They will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done many wonderful works, even cast out demons in your name? What did Jesus say? I'll say to them, I will prophesy to them, I profess to them, I never knew you, you who work lawlessness or iniquities. Anything that's lawless is anything without law. We're going to be judged by God's law, John 12:48. Jesus said, he that rejects me and receive not my words has one that will judge him. The words that I have spoken unto you, these words, which is law, shall judge you in the last days. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This truth will judge you. But the lawless one has to come first. Who is this lawless one?
Spoiler alert. The man doomed to destruction.
Spoiler alert. The man doomed to destruction. Notice what his, listen, look at his, where he's going. His final is death, destruction. And I tell people this all the time. When Satan, you know, Satan, he jumps on us about our past. When you mess up, he always says, oh, look at you, what you did in the past. Look what you done in the past. Look what you done in the past. I tell people when Satan try to remind you of your past, remind him of his future, destruction. So, yeah, I messed up, but you still going to hell. Read.
He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God.
This is the Antichrist. He's going to lift himself above any other thing, even above God, if I'm not mistaken, in Ezekiel. He said, I forgot where it is. I'm not going to quote it, but I'll tell you about it. He said that he will exalt. This king said, I'll exalt myself above the heavens, above the throne of God even. Listen, there's not a ceiling that high. But you have people who feel that they can do this. This is the Antichrist. And now we put all this stuff on some significant, powerful person with a lot of political or a lot of financial or a lot of what influence. Sometimes that Antichrist could be you. He said, whoever exalted himself above God. When I'm sitting here and I know the truth of God is here and I have the choice to choose God or myself, when I choose myself, I just put myself on the throne. Antichrist don't look so far away, does it? You know, Antichrist, generally, we think of something way over there in the future, some mystical, twistical. If I act up, the Antichrist is me. Keep reading, preacher.
So that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God.
Where does he set himself up?
In God's temple.
In God's temple. Now, notice who he's talking about. He's not talking about atheists. He's not talking about the agnostic. He's not talking about the Jew. He's not talking about the Muslim. He's not about to talk about the Jews guy. He's not talking about the whatever the religion, the Hindu. He's talking about Christians because they set themselves up in his temple. He's talking about us. We get so thinking that everything is out there. Guess where the Antichrist come from? Us. He comes from among us. He comes from among us. In Timothy, Paul writes that he says that there were false prophets among the brethren, so shall there be false teachers among you who shall privately bring in destructible and damnable heresies. That heresies being doctrines. They will even deny the God who bought them. And many, the Bible says, shall follow their destructive ways. Man, in the church is where all this mess is coming from. That's why we have to stand against false doctrine. We have to stand against it. We can't let this stuff go by because it's coming from a nice person. We have to stand. We can't anymore allow. Airport, look at me. We can't allow false doctrine to reign anymore because it's catching up. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of things that are tearing people's lives apart, and they're trying to live on it and stand on it, but it has no ground. So therefore, they stand on it falsely, and they fall through when it's time to be tested. That's why you have a lot of people harming themselves because the foundation that they stand on is not a firm foundation. You ever walked across something that you thought would hold you? Oh, this is true. This is true. Keep reading, preacher.
Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things?
I warned you.
And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time.
There's a time where God has sat saying, look, I know when he's coming. I need this time to work. And I'm not going to send my son until all this happened. Keep going.
For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who knows, who now holds it back, will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way.
Listen, the secret powers of the lawless one. You know what secret means? The hidden powers. The deceitful powers. Keep reading, preacher.
And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming.
Come on, come on.
The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works.
Yo, listen, y'all, especially young folks, if you ever wonder what road you're going down and you kind of not sure, sometimes all you got to do is stop back and watch. And if it lines up with other roads that are crashing, probably smart not to get on that road. If you're driving around, you see people. I told y'all this before many times. My daddy used to teach us life lessons. Pull up at a stop sign, he'll see a tree or a drunk sitting over there. He said, boy, look at that man. You see that man over there? Yes, sir. Do you want to be like that? No, sir. Then don't do what he does. See that tree over there at the branch? He just give us life lessons. Well, what he was teaching us is pay attention to life. If you got a foul mouth and you just cursing or you hanging out with people who got destructive lives, then your life is adding up to theirs. Then it makes sense to get off that road. What our parents used to say, well, if all your friends wouldn't jump off a bridge, would you run and jump behind them? What'd you secretly say to yourself?
Yeah, probably.
You didn't say that out loud. I mean, but that was, but it's, what they're saying is pay attention. Christianity is a religion of paying attention. Watch what you say. Watch who you hang out with. Watch what goes in your mind. Watch who you see. Watch, oh, be careful of the hands. You know, just be careful. Pay attention. Look at life. If this religion of Christianity, if someone's telling you, follow me, Christian, 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 and they walking around here just beat up, bummed up, and they call themselves a Christian, pay attention. I was 35 years old before I married. 35 years old, and God brought my queen into my life. But before that, people at church, I was the single guy. So all these mothers and aunts and grandmothers used to always try to bring their kids, their daughters and nieces and stuff. Somebody was like, oh, someone was like, go back. But they used to ask me, that, why you don't want to get married? Why you don't want to get married? Why you don't want to get married? I never said this out loud, but guess what the answer was? Because I'm looking at your marriage. I don't want to end up like that. Why would I want to end up like that? Why would I want to take this road to destruction just like yours? So the lawless one, he comes in unison. He kind of looked like Satan. That's how you could tell. When that road looked bad, get off it. Keep reading. I'm about ready to close, y'all. Psych. Yes, I am. Go ahead.
He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie.
Ooh. He'll use all kind of display of lies and wonders. You know what wonders are? Things that make you go, wow. That's why some folks won't come to a church that won't make, you know, you don't stand up and they won't go to a church that's going to do that because they got to leave the church. They don't want a church where it's sit down where you pay attention, listen and learn. They want a church, they got to jump up and down and hop and piano, bang, 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 preacher flying in on the court. They got to go to them kind of churches because they want this emotional, they want to hide. They don't want a spiritual joint. That's what they want. They don't want to just sit down and hear a message and learn and have the preacher say, let's walk this thing together. Let's disciple one another. They don't want that. They want the hallelujah, don't talk to me through the week. What I do on the weekend is my business, but let me get me that piano out. Matter of fact, I could play some of the same music from Saturday into the church on Sunday. Just put Jesus in it and change it. Amen. It comes with wonders. Keep reading, preacher.
And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing.
Notice he said those who are perishing. I-N-G. In the process. You know who those folks are? I don't have time, but in Romans, the first chapter, I was going to have you read it, Romans, the first chapter. It says, the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven upon all those who love not the truth. They want to get in a church that make them feel good, and they don't care anything about what the church is teaching. Just make me feel good. Y'all, it is a power of sin. It attacks your emotions. Do you know some of the hardest people to get into Christ are religious people? People who already got their mind made up. I talk to many people, they say, I know I'm saved. They're no more saved than anything. I know I'm saved. that person, you can't, it's hard to talk that person into the truth. It's hard to open the Bible. I've opened the Bible and showed people the word of God. They looked at it and said, yeah, you're right, but I'm still okay. How do you do that? Because Satan gets in and deceives your heart. When he gets your heart, you suckered. That's why you always go with emotions. I'm not going to finish. I'm going to close it up. Yo, listen. At the end of it, he says, those who are perishing, he's going to keep going. Okay.
They perish because they refuse to love the truth. Mm. And so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion.
A delusion.
So that they will believe the lie.
Believe it.
And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness.
Don't want the truth. You met folk like that. They don't want the truth. You know what I'm talking about, Gene? Your parents come up and they try to, my son should be playing. My daughter should be playing. You know good and well they ain't worth a dime on the court. Oh, he just don't want the truth. But that person, when you get caught up in a lie, you'll start believing it, and God said eventually, I'll damn you for believing it. God is not slack concerning his promise. Everybody stand. When we sing the song, take the song in and listen to the message of the song. And then ask yourself, am I sure? Am I sure I'm okay with God, or have I been taking religious stuff from my preachers and my teachers and my emotions? Are you sure? Let's sing the song and let's be sure of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. He came on this earth to live and die for you, because everybody in here is a sinner. We all sin. And Jesus came, and when he died, he said, I'll be the substitute. I'll stand in place of you. I'll take the punishment, the beating for you, so you won't have to take it. I'll be separated from God for you. And when I'm separated, I'll die. And when I'm dead, I'll go to this grave, but it won't be my home. He said, I'll stand up and I'll rise up. And the Bible says in Romans 6 chapter, that's how we participate in the death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6 chapter, we're baptized into his death. We're buried with him. We're risen to a new life. We want to do that to you. If you haven't been baptized, we want you to be baptized today. But if you have, but you've fallen away and you have succumbed to the Antichrist, it's not too late to let go and take the ante off and succumb to Christ. You can sing the song of invitation. Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I know I went over, but my throat hurts, so I do that all the time. So. But I want to thank y'all and really think about what is said every Sunday about the call. I do believe we're in the last days. I don't know how long that lasts. I don't know. But I believe we're in the last days. I believe when we follow the Antichrist, I believe we sucker punch ourselves into deceiving ourselves into thinking that this is the best way. The Bible teaches us you can't outgive God. You can't out-bless God. You can't out-anything God. It's said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. That's what you want. So if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to think about it. Don't just let it go by and go, maybe next week, because we don't know what if we're going to be here next week. And the Bible says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Y'all, you don't want that. It's going to be a sad thing on the day of judgment. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to realize all I had to do is submit to him. Your soul is a high price to pay for not investigating. God bless.